It's time for Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Brought to you by the Hippocrates Health Institute in West Palm Beach. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Anna Maria.
And Brian Clement, Hippocrates Wellness. It's good to be back again together. This worldwide community we have, open-minded, open-hearted people who hopefully, like us, are aspiring to grow, to learn, to expand every possible horizon there is to expand, and maybe those that we haven't even discovered at this point. Anna Marie and I have been big believers that farmers are the most important people on the planet Earth. Now, come along on this ride with us. Think about how you survive, how your family survived, how your grandparents, great-grandparents, great-great-great-great-grandparents survived. It was all because they had food to consume. And this country was actually built, the United States, on the rich soil that we had here. You know, we like to believe that we're just so smart, we became successful in America because of that. It was our soil that did that to us. And ironically, the second thing that helped us was the Industrial Revolution. But that destroyed the soil. And so the very thing that created the greatness of this country, the prosperity of this country, ultimately destroyed the soil. And now the Midwest in the United States is becoming a desert. And this is not an opinion. This is a fact. If you've ever had the privilege to be in the Middle East, study the history of the Middle East, it was lush green forest. And today, it is just desert. As we sit here and speak today, they now predict by the year 2050, the rainforest in South America will be in great part a desert. And we cannot and will not survive. One of the most important doctors today decided no longer to be a doctor. Did the foreword to a book that Anna Marie and I just recently put out, The Self-Healing Diet, Dr. Zach Bush. And as a doctor and the oath he took to help people, to do no harm, he followed through with. And he said, as a doctor sitting behind a desk and telling people what lifestyle to live or what medicine to take or what herb is best for you is really not effective if the farmers are not there producing the most nutritious food in the world. Because ultimately, we go back to how we started. Without farmers, we all die. A few years ago, Anna Marie and I had the great privilege, through a friend of ours, to go out and become familiar with the San Juan Islands off the coast of Washington State. And we often go out and holiday there with some of our children and grandchildren. And our son, just before he went on to Europe to medical school, through another friend of ours, wanted to work one summer. And he said, well, I'd like to work on a farm. Now, what do we know about a farm in Washington State on an island? And thank God, the right person came into his life, the right people, Henning and Elizabeth, who basically are really odd farmers, because Henning grew up during the wartime in Germany. And he saw a lot of strife. He saw how cruel humans can be. But he saw at the same time the hope and the universe and the brilliance of nature and how much it offers us. He got his degree in Germany, and he then moved at the young age of 19 to the United States. And he went on to get a second degree at the University of Rochester, New York, in philosophy, and then studied for a year in Frankfurt at the School of Critical Theory before taking a PhD at the University of Chicago. Offered a position at the University of Washington. That's how he was, thank God, displaced to the West Coast. And Washington State, way back then, in the 1960s, was a very pure, pristine place with very, very, very few people living at that point. And he found land on this little island, part of the San Juan chain, called Lopez, where he and his wife, Elizabeth, who's also a PhD from the University of Washington, developed a biodynamic demonstration farm. Now, he's going to describe to us, as a genius, brilliant, long-term farmer of a half a century, what that biodynamic means. A farm-to-school program. So why he did this is not just because he was short-sighted and said, hey, I like living on a farm. I like doing organic farming. This is a good way to live. But he wanted to pass this on to the next generation because he, like Zach Bush and Anna Marie and I, understand that farms are our future, and without them, there is no future. So Henning, so nice to have you on here from over 3,000 miles away. How are you?
I'm just fine. Hello to you, Brian and Anne-Marie.
Hi.
So I gave a long description of who you are and a little bit of your background, but now I'm going to throw the ball to you. And what made you move in the direction that you moved in? Somewhere in this conversation, talk about what biodynamic farming is and tell us how enriched your life has been by living the farm life.
Well, let me begin at the beginning. I left Germany when I was 19 because after World War II, there was no way I could get a higher education in Germany because we were refugees and the family had been split up by the war. Mm-hmm. And so I was pretty much on my own. And during my apprenticeship in business in Germany, I met an American who offered me a job in Muncie, Indiana, in this meat plant, and said that if I worked hard, I could do anything I wanted in America. And, of course, he was right. Mm-hmm. So he got me a green card in just a few weeks, which is just amazing when you think about how difficult it is to get immigration authorization today. And I worked in this meat plant in Muncie, Indiana for a year. And I have to say that this was a very disconcerting experience because I found that the methods they used in that plant were cruel to the animals they were butchering and processing. And the quality of the product that came out of the factory was rather inferior. It was not wholesome food, but it was food that had been doctored with chemicals and as much water as they could possibly press into the meat. Mm-hmm. So I realized that if I was going to stay in the United States, I realized even then that I probably would have to grow my own food. And if I wanted to eat meat, I would have to grow it myself.
This is what year is this, Henny? You're coming to this realization well before the rest of the population. What year was that?
I immigrated in 1956. I was born 1937. So I was 19 in 1956.
Wow.
Mm. And the decision to move on from the factory and then, of course, start my career as a student and then eventually become a farmer, that idea pretty much ripened in me during that year, 1956
to 1957. Well, Henning, was your parents farmers in Germany? Were they farmers?
No, I do have a family background of farming, but it is several generations back. Uh-huh. And my grandfather was a scholar and teacher, and my father was a lawyer. My mother's father was a medical man. My mother was an artist. So we pretty much came from upper middle class family. But we lived in Dresden, which, of course, was bombed in 1945, and I experienced that close up.
Well.
Wow. Mm. But we lived on the outskirts of the city and therefore were spared the bombing. And right in the back of our the fence of our garden, they were the fields of an adjacent farmer. So in a way, I grew up on the farm in as much as kids. We played on that farm all the time. And then after the war, when food was getting scarce, we were sent out regularly to glean. And so we worked on the farm as children, gathering whatever the farmer was leaving behind and thereby surviving. I grew up in a large family of seven children plus two cousins who lived with us. So there were nine children in the house.
Wow.
And survival was difficult. Anyway, all this is a background, both in terms of my appreciation of good food and the importance of food, and also my appreciation for the farming methods that I saw on the farm close to our own home. And it created in me a deep sense of the sacredness of the soil, and the sacredness of the task of the farmer in producing food for the community. And this is something I carried with me also into my university studies, my studies in philosophy and literature and anthropology, and all these things really were focused on the question of how does spirit manifest in matter? And I found that there was no better way to live that question than becoming a biodynamic farmer.
Yes.
Because the whole biodynamic project is based on the assumption that we are spiritual beings and that we can manifest that through the work that we do. Rudolf Steiner, who is the founder of biodynamics, said in so many words that it was the task of the farmer to heal the earth. And I remember that when I first came across it, that seemed a very abstract statement to me. I didn't quite understand what that meant. And I've been farming biodynamics for 50 years, and I've come to experience the truth of that statement.
I mean, you said something unbelievably interesting to me that I'm myself pondering. How does spirit turn into matter? And there's no better representation than soil. And if you know, as a philosopher, this is something you won't know, but people don't. Biblically, they say we come from the earth and go to the earth. That's exactly what happens, isn't it? So we go from energy, electrons, photons coming from the sun that make us, and that life force goes into the soil, literally to the point where our bodies once again become energy within the soil to create healthy bacteria and nutrition to produce further food. And so Steiner was right on. Talk a little bit about Steiner. A lot of people have heard that name, but they don't know who he is. When we come back, we're going to talk about him and talk about your extraordinary example for the rest of the world. We'll be right back.
How are you feeling? Wellness awaits you right here in West Palm Beach. Hippocrates Wellness Institute has been transforming lives for over 50 years. Located on 60 lush acres, the Hippocrates Wellness Institute can reverse chronic disease, help you lose weight, increase your longevity and immunity. Call for your consultation and tour today, 561-471-8876. That's 561-471-8876 for Hippocrates Wellness Institute. Now back to health, happiness, and healing with Hippocrates on Legends 100.3. Call for your tour today, 561-471-8876, or visit HippocratesHealthInstitute.org. Now here are the hosts of Health, Happiness, and Healing with Hippocrates, Anna Maria and Brian Clement.
This is Health, Happiness, and Healing with Brian
and Anna Maria Clement at Hippocrates Wellness. And we're here with Henning Sandstorf. And, you know, he has such a long history, and he has done invaluable teaching and education for people that wants to practice holistic and especially biodynamics. So who is Rudolf Steiner?
Well, Rudolf Steiner was well, how do you describe him? Was he Austrian? Was he German? Was he Croatian? Was he Hungarian? Because he was born in the region of Hungary that was then part of the Austrian Empire, and it's now located in Croatia.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, that just as a background. He was born there in 1861, and he died in 1925. And frankly, I believe he worked himself to death. He published some 50 books.
Yeah.
And if I am correct in my counting, he gave at least 2,500 public lectures.
And
he initiated so many projects for the improvement of the human community that I think he basically exhausted his life force when he was in his early 60s.
Yeah.
So he died in 1925. He was an educated man. He got his scientific education at the Institute of Technology in Vienna. And he earned a doctorate in philosophy from the University of Rostock, which is a German port city in the Baltic, now in the Baltic states. And his dissertation was on the metaphysics of Johann Gottlieb Fichte, who was a German idealist. And I mention that only because Steiner's philosophy was both highly speculative and idealistic, but also very practical in its application. And he made important, he started important initiatives in the area of economics and of education and of medicine and of community organization and architecture. He was a dramatist, he was a poet. And in the 1920s, he was invited by farmers in eastern Germany, what was then Prussia and is now in Poland, because the farmers there were concerned about the fact that the fertility of the soils was in serious decline, which meant also that the nutritiousness of the food grown in those fields was declining, and the animal fertility was declining, and the human health of the populations living there was declining. What Steiner essentially said to these farmers in a series of lectures, which were later published in the form of a book, and the title of the book is The Metaphysical Foundation for the Renewal of Agriculture.
Isn't that
amazing? Or also The Spiritual Foundation for the Renewal of Agriculture. What Steiner said to his audience was that they had forgotten that the soil was a living organism that was filled with spirit. And they had learned to treat the soil as a material thing into which they injected chemicals in order to produce larger crops. And these chemicals, as we now know, like synthetic nitrogen, acted as a toxin in the soil and were killing the living organisms, the microorganisms in the soil, so that the biomass in the soil was gradually reduced to near zero, which means that the soil, as is the case in much of commercial agriculture today, the soil simply acts as something that holds up the plant.
Almost like a sponge. It has no value. It's just like a sponge sitting there.
It's no longer alive.
Yeah.
It no longer contains the life force that was communicated to the plants, to the microorganisms. I mean, Steiner essentially did not think that a farmer should be fertilizing plants, but rather that the farmer should be feeding the soil organisms.
Oh, yes.
Right.
That's a very important practical distinction that we have practiced here on this farm for 50 years. When I came here in 1967 and then bought the property in 69 and started farming here in 1970, I measured the soil biomass and found that the organic matter was around 2 to 3%, which is really average for the soils around here. Today, the soil biomass, the organic matter in the soil on our farm is between 15 and 18%.
Yeah, and you can tell you, when I've tasted food out of your garden, it explodes in your mouth. I mean, the difference is everything else is not a food. And,
exactly.
And explain what that is. We're talking about biomass. You and I understand that, but what is it in the soil that is lacking in commercial soil, including organic? People, you know, I'd much rather have you buy organic so you don't have pesticides, fungicides, and herbicides, but don't think that that has a lot of good nutrition in it. Well, the study at Stanford basically showed it didn't. So they took commercially grown organic food and commercially grown non-organic food, and they found out the organic food, sure, it didn't have poison in it, but the reality is it didn't have any more nutrition in it. Mm. So explain that, why it tastes different, why it's so important, and what it ultimately is going to do to the earth if we don't correct this.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there are two explanations I'd like to offer. One is that the standards of organic certification promoted by the federal government are basically negative. It says you cannot put synthetic fertilizers on the soil, you cannot use irradiation, you cannot put sewage sludge on there, and you cannot use plants that have been, changed chemically?
Genetic manipulated? No.
Genetically modified.
Yeah.
I've been genetically modified.
Right.
Okay? So all the standards of organic production in the lights of the government are really negative.
Mm.
You cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do the third thing. But you can have an organic farm that meets all these standards and still be industrialized, meaning that they use large-scale, heavy equipment that are fossil fuel-driven.
Right.
And that have a negative effect upon the soil that they work. A biodynamic farmer, by contrast, works on the assumption that all the inputs that are required to produce the food can be produced within the limits of the farm itself. In other words, so that's one important distinction I want to make here between biodynamic organics and non-biodynamic organics.
Right.
Non-biodynamic organics are largely defined negatively by mandating the absence of certain toxins and processes that are deleterious to the health of the soil.
Wow.
Biodynamic organics, on the other hand, says the most important thing is that we feed the soil organism to produce organic biomass in the soil. Okay, so if you take a spoon of soil, of good biodynamically managed soil, a spoon of soil, you can count on it that every teaspoon will contain as many million microorganisms in that soil as there are people in the United States. Probably many, many more. There may be up to a billion of such microorganisms.
In a
teaspoon of soil.
These
microorganisms are literally alive, which means they manifest life force.
Yes.
Okay? They manifest life force in their very biological being. They are there on the soil. And for the biodynamic farmer, the focus is, how do I feed these microorganisms so that they can transmit to the plant the minerals that are in the soil, which are transmitted through their bodies, the bodies of these microorganisms, and are exuded to the plants to feed these plants and supply them with the nutrition that they need, and which then is metabolized into the fiber of the plant and is harvested by the farmer and is eaten by the human consumer.
Isn't it amazing? Yeah. I mean, just Henning, your depth and sphere of knowledge is remarkable. You're certainly one of the most progressive and successful farmers in the United States. And when we come back next week, we're going to talk to people out there about their food choices, what the difference makes, and you and I and Anna Maria together will explain how that bacteria in the soil, that 1 billion bacteria in the soil, is what makes your entire immune system and 90% of your psychology. Listen, people, we're not talking about something that's foreign to you. This is you. You are literally the bacteria from the soil. And if you want a healthy body, if you want to live a long life, Henning's well into his 80s, and when you're with this man, he has a vitality of a 30-year-old, and he looks like a 50-year-old. And that doesn't just happen by circumstance. That happens because of intent. And so by next week, hopefully this whole week, you're going to be eating biodynamic food, organically grown food, a lot of plant-based food. We're going to be back and take you on this voyage to the future of humanity and the hope we have to revolutionize farming back to where it began. Till next week, be well.